people. Two of them are going on the Hartford Project, and one was kind of a veteran from the past, and they're going to give you some testimonies of how God used them while they were on the Hartford Project. So, all right, let me get my list. All right, so Ella, Aaron, and Mia, why don't you three come up, and I'm going to have some testimonies. Come on. And all right, so I already have it in order. So Ella, you're going to go first. You going to do this? Now, do you want it in?
Okay. Hi. My name is Ella, and my mission for this week is the Hartford Project. This is now my third year going, and I'm really looking forward to it. So basically, in the Hartford Project, we go out in the city and share who we are and who we believe in. In the last 2 years, a fear that I've been having was being rejected, and that was a lot more common than I thought it would be. An example would be in a block party. It was my first year of THP, and I was giving out hot dogs and chips, and there was this family who wanted more chips before they left. So as someone went to get them, I found an open opportunity to talk to them. And so as I began starting a conversation, I noticed they didn't speak English and they didn't understand what I was saying. So I still tried to ask if they wanted prayer. They said no politely and left with their chips. But there was also a time where someone was willing to receive prayer. There was a person named Casey. She was a homeless, retired woman, and she had some back problems. So she was really open about her story, and I was able to pray for her. These moments have impacted me now because my view on people and how I should spend my time has changed. Even though I was not able to speak to that family, I believe that I was still able to get the message across through our actions, and that they were able to see a difference in the people there that night. Overall, these occasions have kept me wanting to go back every year. I'm really looking forward to the night services and worship time, and I really enjoy being surrounded by Christians around my age. The Hartford Project is only my mission for this week, though sharing my faith is my mission every day. THP has encouraged me to continue this lifestyle, and I hope this has encouraged you too. Thank you.
What? Oh, okay. Hi. My name is Mia Perez, and my mission will be the Hartford Project. Ever since my sister started going, I've been dying to go as well. During my first year of youth group, I've learned about evangelism and how it is important. I feel like God called me to do the Hartford Project because he wants me to share his word with people who may never heard the gospel or may have rejected it in the past. My job isn't to get the people to receive the gospel, but to plant the good news in their hearts so that God can make the seed into a beautiful creation. I know that this will be a journey never to forget, and I know God has given me the right tools and prepared me for this trip. Trust me when I say I'm thrilled to go to the Hartford Project, but I'm also nervous about some things. Firstly, I'm afraid that I won't know what to say when they ask me questions. I know we are not perfect, and I know we don't know everything about God's plan, but I'm still afraid that they might reject the gospel because I couldn't answer their question. And some other things that I'm really not stoked about is that we're working every single day and all day and only get one shower that week. But I'm super excited to go and know that God will help me through the things that I'm concerned about. I can't wait for the worship that's so loud and powerful that I can't even hear myself think. I'm also excited about my relationship with God. I can't wait for it to grow and strengthen just like it did in convention. I'm also excited for the Hartford Project because I can't wait to share God's love through my actions and words.
Hi.
Okay.
So I'm Aaron, Pastor Chris's oldest son. I've been to 5 or 6 Hartford projects. I don't honestly remember at this point. So my dad kind of stole the beginning of mine. I was going to kind of summarize what we do at the Hartford Project. Basically, a lot of there's a lot of small things that we do and a lot of big things that we do, and I've learned that both of them are really important for serving the communities. A big misconception that a lot of people have about Hartford, and honestly a lot of cities in general, is that they're quote-unquote ghetto or bad or just not good places to be in, keep your kids away, all that kind of stuff. And I've learned that the news does a really good job of showing that and making it look like that's how it is. And after several years and, well, several weeks of working with the people there and just meeting all different types of people in Hartford, that's not really true. There's some people there that, yes, that do bad things, but that's how it is everywhere. I've learned that there's actually a ton of people in Hartford that don't get the spotlight but do really good things for the people around them. For example, last year we had the privilege of meeting a police officer who had an office in the Capitol building, and he had an entire room that was unknown to most people, that he has all kinds of supplies, clothes, boots, all this stuff for the winter, and for the people that can't afford them, food, all that kind of stuff. He just gives them for free for the homeless people who live under the bridges and stuff that can't do anything for themselves. But nobody knows about that kind of stuff because the news doesn't really, well, tell anyone, you know? I've learned after a whole bunch of years of doing the Hartford Project that God loves the people of Hartford just as much as he loves the people of Middletown, the people of Cromwell, the people of Meriden, all over the place. And when we go down there to serve, what we're doing is showing that God loves them, it's not for us, it's really not, it's for them. And my testimony, my example is from block parties and stuff that we do. My dad touched on it briefly. Basically, one night of the week, we close down a street in Hartford. Usually, it's one of the really bad ones where all the shootings and stuff happens. The police come and shut it down, and we do a huge block party. And what that is they give out, like, hot dog trucks and stuff come, and we give them free food and water and slushies and bouncy houses and nail painting and all that kind of stuff for the kids. And it always is super fun and super exciting, and we always get to meet a whole bunch of people and speak into people. And doing all those block parties, I've done many different jobs at these block parties, such as picking up trash off the ground for 2 hours or painting people's nails, which is a new one for me. But it was fun. I guess. But I've learned that doing the small things like picking up trash or handing someone a bottle of water or painting their nails or trying to, it really, just that little thing can just plant that little seed, kind of like what Mia said, and we don't necessarily get to see it come to pass or see the final result of what that is, but we know that God honors the obedience, so we try to touch as many people as we can. That's about all I got. Thank you all.
See, being a missionary, you have lots of ways of doing that. One of the things that I guess you'd say as a pastor I'm really proud of is how many missionaries that we support as a congregation. Charlin created that kind of painting on the back wall, and where we try to show the different missionaries that we support as a church and where they're from. Some of them are all over the world, and some of them are in the United States. And it's a blessing to be able to give to them just on a periodic basis, just because I may never get to Zimbabwe. I may never get to China. I may never get to Argentina. But I guess I have, though, because we sacrificially give and allow other people to go in our place and speak the word of God to people who may never get an opportunity to hear just how much God loves them. And so, actually, what I want to do this morning, the next testimony I want to bring up is someone who, you, if you've not met him and his wife yet, you need to. They're actually used to be missionaries, and actually were pastors in Meriden, and God has blessed us where they've now been attending Faith Christian Assembly for a while. So, Javier, why don't you come on up, introduce yourself. You can introduce your wife as well if you'd like. I'm not going to embarrass her. But why don't you give us a testimony of how God's been using you?
Well, I thought I'm going to be the only one using the phone, so now I feel better. First, I would like to ask you for a little bit of patience. When we immigrate after 25 years old, we still think in our original language. Anything younger, of 24 years old and younger, they are a little more quicker to adapt to a new language. In our cases, we listen, we translate it, and then we understand. That way, I know most of the Filipinos are adult people, they might understand what I'm saying, but that's what it is. Why we are here? Why my wife and myself are here, that's something that we share with Pastor Chris and his father in a meeting that we held. So we're not going to take the time to explain that right now. But I would like to share with you a testimony from our experience in Guatemala and Mexico, where we were missionaries in the 80s. Blessing, brothers and sisters. I would like to thank Pastor Chris for the opportunity to share one of many testimonies accumulated in our 5 years of missionary experience in Mexico, 1983-1985, and Guatemala, 1985-1988. My wife, Danelia Reyes, I would like to ask her to stand up. My wife and I serve as a full-time staff for the Campus Crusade for Christ, Cruzada Estudiantil y Profesional para Cristo, that's the name in Latin America, in both countries. We are originally from Nicaragua, Central America. I was planning to share an evangelist victory testimony that happened in one of the biggest universities of Central America, Universidad de San Carlos de Guatemala. But I changed my mind last night. I will tell you why in a moment. I promise we will share this evangelist victory testimony in a future opportunity. My wife and I are blessed with an amazing story of protection, grace, mercy, an impressive show of love from our Lord and Savior. We all start early, or everything starts early in our life with the experience of surviving two earthquakes, Managua 1972 and Mexico 1985. And then surviving the Sandinista Revolution in 1979 and the Contra War in the early 80s. For some of you that are older enough, you might remember the expression Iran-Contra scandal. That was around that time. Mission Field was not the exception. We do enjoyed the protection of God in every way. The reason I chose to share this testimony is because Friday night, we barely slept following the news of a difficult situation confronted by university students surrounded by paramilitary forces attacking them. It was more than 200 young kids holding up in a church inside the university. It was a highly emotional experience for us to hear our young Nicaraguan people going through what we had gone through more than 30 years ago. We keep asking everyone of you for your prayers for Nicaragua. Serving in Mexico in 1984, we traveled to the southern country, Guatemala, with the only purpose to renewing our Mexican visa, so we can we could stay there for another year. We were young, and instead of buying airplane ticket, we was able to do it. We chose to complete the trip by bus because we want to learn the land, the place. We should have researched the political situation in Guatemala before deciding to do it that way, but we didn't. When we entered Guatemala territory, we find out that it was too late for us to take the last bus to take us further in the country. And the few small hotels along the border were full, no room for us. Again, we say to ourselves, we're young. And we can sleep in that concrete bench and take our first bus early in the morning. We didn't feel scared because we saw immigration authority up and down along the border. Everything seemed to be secure. So we tried to sleep using our luggage as a pillow. But around 2 o'clock, we heard chatting and loud noises close to the immigration building. Everything happened so fast that we had no time to run to another building or the few hotels that might have to look for refugee. So we throw ourselves under the concrete bench, embracing each other for the whole ordeal. We were familiar with the sound of machine guns and rockets, so we knew what was going on. The Guatemalan guerrilla fighters were attacking the border officer. Little by little, the light fade out, with the signs of first light of the new day, we saw soldiers removing bodies before the bus arrived. The driver and the passenger that came out from the hotel were surprised that we were still alive. In our return to Mexico, we took a different schedule so we would not get stuck in the border again overnight. One more time, our God protect us in our time of trouble. Those are just one example of how God protects us throughout our life. There are many other stories, but perhaps another time. More miracles were waiting to happen for us for another beautiful year living in Mexico and serving in Mexico. Everything happened with a purpose for those who are working for the Lord. God is good all the time. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Pastor.
See, you want to invite them out, right? Because you want to hear these stories, don't you? So buy them some lunch, and then, well, I guess we have lunch today. Not today. So, all right, the next one I'd like to invite up, because I think people often think of missionaries, they only think of people who either, you know, go to a, you know, like a Hartford Project, like a short-term missions, or they're literal missionaries, you know, to a specific country. But what I want you to really leave with today is that we're all missionaries. We all are called by God to witness and reach people with the gospel. So I'm going to start calling up different people, and you may not hear stories of them being in other countries. You might, but you might not. And I think you'll quickly see that you can be a missionary right where God has planted you today. So Jem, why don't you come on up and share with our congregation?
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I was saying, Pastor, don't call me after that. Well, we bless God. When Pastor asked me to share, my first thought was, he must have made a mistake. I'm not a missionary. That's what I thought. And I told him, I'll pray about it and think it through. And, you know, the amazing thing he said is that, yes, I am a missionary. And my mission field is actually 107 Burnside Avenue in East Hartford. And what is that? My husband and I run an insurance agency that we've been running for almost 20 years. And as I thought and prayed about it, I realized that is my missionary place. That's where we've been ministering for the last 20 years. And so many testimonies came up as I try to put it together and try to pick up some things to share with you this morning. First of all, our background, we come from a culture which is very alpha male dominated, and the man is, you know, is supposed to do certain things and is expected to do certain things in terms of even a husband and wife relationship. So as a husband and wife working together, not known to us, a lot of our customers, those who come from a similar culture as ours, see our relationship and take a lot from that, even by our actions, the way we love each other and work together. It surprises them to see us. I remember I had a young girl one time tell me, I really had given up. I didn't think marriage was really a great thing. And I see how you and everybody calls you Uncle John or, you know, Auntie Jem. Everybody's an auntie. I see how Uncle John and you work together, and it reassures me so much about marriage, and it blesses me so much. And she went on to share some things in her family of things going on, and was able to use the word of God to encourage her on what God called a man and a woman to be, as opposed to maybe what she knows in a culture or what she's been trained coming up. Those are some of the examples of things that have happened. But in sharing with clients, as clients come through, share with people that we come across, we have tenants coming across. We had a time that we had some renovation work that we were doing, and this guy was a contractor. We didn't really know him that well. So unlike our clients that we have some comfort to share with, this guy came in, and they were working very well with us, working in our office and all of that. One time, after some time, we realized the guy was not coming into work. The contractor had some people working with him, but the people working with him, there was one particular guy who wasn't coming and showing up to work. So I had asked the main contractor, what's going on? And he said to me, oh, you know, his wife has dialysis, is going through dialysis, and he was just diagnosed also with cancer, and he's going through that. So we kind of tried to get a little bit of information about that, and he said, you know, he's really going through a real difficult time. So we, John and I, talked about it. We prayed about it. We prayed for him, but he wasn't there. The guy wasn't there. So this went on for some time. He didn't show up for some time, and then one time he shows up. But actually, when he showed up to work, I wasn't there. John was there. So when John came, he started talking to this guy and trying to find out more about him. And he had an urge to pray for him. But before he could do that, he had an appointment that he had to go to. So I had just called him just before he was going to pray with this guy. And he went off for his appointment. So he didn't get a chance to do that. I didn't know that he was going through this. He was getting this urging of the Holy Spirit to pray for the guy. And then he left and went. So I came back later to inspect the work. And when I came, I had that same strong feeling to pray for the guy. So I called the GC, who was the one. I don't know what this guy's background was. But I called the GC and I said, I really feel like praying for this guy. Can I pray for him? And he said, oh, why don't you ask him? So we called the guy who came over, and I asked him. He said, all right. And I prayed for him. So after that, he left. And I was sharing this with John, and then he shares with me, you know, this is what happened just before. I said, wow, the Holy Spirit is something else. So 2 weeks, this goes on for a little bit. 2 weeks later, the guy comes in, and he tells me, oh, the hospital decided they were going to run some more tests before they start chemo. So, you know, I'm waiting for the results. We said, oh, okay, we're still praying for you and believing God for that. Now, this goes on for about another 3 weeks. The guy finally calls me, the GC calls me and said, oh, you guys have to hear something. We have something to share. So we come into in, and the guy tells us, you know, I went in for my test, and the doctors were surprised. They checked, and they said, there's nothing. They can't find anything. There's nothing. Now, you know, praise God. Sometimes we pray, and we that we are praying, we are just doing it sometimes, trusting God, but still surprised at the results. You understand? I'm just being real. I don't know about you, but I just was so excited. And it's almost like sometimes you're praying for the results. You know God is going to do it, he's going to do it. But you're kind of blown away at how he actually comes through. So, I mean, I just thank God for my mission field. And I thank God for Pastor reminding me that that is the mission field. Thank you so much.
See, I'm glad you guys are getting to know people a little better now, right? Well, Ken, why don't you come on up and share a testimony?
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Ken. And coming up in August, it's been about 33 years that I met Jesus. And that experience for me was really radical. It was like watching The Wizard of Oz, and at the beginning of the movie, it's black and white. And then she lands in Oz with the house, and it's all color. And that was like my conversion experience. It was very much like seeing black and white and then seeing color for the first time, and I was like blown away. Well, that zeal translated into, and I like to share with you this morning, is how I have used the witness over the years and where I've been and where I am today. And so that zeal at the beginning, I would take the gospel and I would actually blow people away with my zeal and passion. So much so that I would like burn the gospel into them. And it turned out to me that I was doing damage without even knowing, because my heart was in the right place. I wanted them to have what I experienced, but not everybody can relate to an experience that a person has. And I was doing that for a number of years, and over some time, then I kind of said, all right, they don't want to hear about Jesus. So I took the other extreme, and I went, I'm going to tell no one about Jesus. So I took that route for a number of years, where I actually just said, I'm going to just live my life and let my life be an example. And that example will then share Jesus with them. Well, that doesn't work either. So as I've come to mature as a Christian, there's got to be a balance there. And I still think I need ways to go. But I'm improving that balance where I need to have the zeal and have that consciousness that there's people around me that need Jesus. But I also need to trust God and wait for his leading, because he's the one that's doing the work. And so I could use as my mission field where I work, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm actually, because of where I work, it allows me to live in this community and allows me to have other interests. And one of those interests that I have is women's basketball. And I attend UConn women's basketball games for UConn and the Connecticut Sun. So over the course of a number of years, we met this couple at the Connecticut Sun games who sits in front of us. And we've developed a relationship with this couple. Right now, the couple is like over 70 years old. They're just like low 70s. But we've developed this rapport with them. We've gone out to eat with them a number of times. We've been over their house. About last year, I was asking them, I was saying, well, we go to the Final Four a lot. And they said, well, we've never been to the Final Four. And I said, well, it's in Columbus. I said, we're going to go. They said, well, we don't like to drive. I said, well, we're going anyways. Why don't you come with us? So they said, okay. So we spent a week with this couple, and I was excited because I'm like, all right, God, I know they're Catholic, and I know they need Jesus, because I can see that in the way they act. They're good people, but you know when someone knows the Lord and when they don't. So I said, all right, I'm going to be confined with them in a car for how many weeks, and I'm going to be able to share with them. But really the opportunities didn't present themselves, but I was listening for places where I could inject Jesus into the conversation, but they never really came up. And just to make a long story short, I came back from that trip. All I got to do with him was share an email about a UConn player had come to the Lord. And I asked him about it, and he said, oh, it was interesting. And I was like, okay, fine. So I was kind of frustrated when I got home, and I'm like, God, you know, I spent a whole week, and I didn't share much about you with them. And he said, well, basically, just wait on me. Still love on them. Be friends with them. Just wait for the right moment. Because we don't know what God is doing. And we need to be examples. We need to let our light shine. But we need to be sensitive to what God is doing and hear his voice. And I'm confident we're going over their house in a couple of weeks. And maybe that's the time. Maybe my testimony is just to share a little nugget and it's someone else to bring them into the kingdom. But maybe not. Maybe it is my time to bring them. But I know I have a relationship with them and I'm using the relationship style of evangelism. And I know that, you know, I'm believing that at some point they're going to come to the Savior. So that's just my one example, and there's many more I could have shared, but that's what I wanted to bring to the group today.
You understand the key, right, of what really people are saying? It's not you. It really isn't. I mean, we do so much more when we get out of the way. It's really what God's looking for is obedience. He wants someone who... Can you tell when someone wants to do something in your life? You know, like, hey, you know, can I, you know, now? Are you ready? Versus, well, you know, no, I'm not available. God can tell when you want to do something for him. And also God can tell when you really don't. And I can tell you as a dad, there's nothing worse when I want to go outside and work and I look around and all of a sudden, pew, 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 like everyone's gone. All I see is like these dust clouds, you know, versus nothing blesses me more as a dad is when I'm outside working and they come up to me and say, Dad, is there something we can do? Can we help? That's what God's looking for. He's looking for us to be willing, not perfect, but willing. All right. Pam, you ready? All right. Let's have Pam come up.
Good morning, church family. My name is Pam, for those who don't know me. And what I was supposed to say this morning is completely different than what I'm going to say right now, because when I was in worship, God placed something totally different on my heart, and I felt it was important that I share this instead of what I was going to share. I was going to briefly talk about, I feel like I actually have several areas in my life where there's mission opportunities for me. My job is one of them. I was actually going to speak about that today, but I am going to put that on the back burner for another time. And I'm going to talk about my family, which is fiercely important to me. And it's not just my family who sits here or the family who sits in the sanctuary, but my mom, my brother, my sister. My desire will be that each and every one of them will be in the kingdom with me someday. And that will happen. I claim it, I believe it, and I stake it. And that's just, there is no one who will tell me differently. Satan tried to whisper in my ears many, many, many years ago when I was first saved. I lost my father when I was young. I was 24 years old. And I struggled after I found Christ with where he was. And I refuse to let anyone tell me where he is and where he is. And I do believe that whether he shared with me verbally or whether he shared it publicly, that he had a relationship, he had an opportunity, that he was chosen, that he will be, I will see him someday. And today I want to share about my mission field that I believed was many years ago was 33 Linda Avenue in Chicopee, Massachusetts. And at 33 Linda Avenue, in Chicopee lived my great-grandmother, who was with us until she was 97 and a half, and she was an amazing woman. Her nickname was Doobie. So my grandmother was brought up Catholic. She had a very tough life, and towards the end of her life, she would always say to me, I just don't understand why I'm here anymore, Pam. And I said, it's because your job's not done, Graham. I'm like, God has a different plan for you. No, he doesn't, she would say. And I'd say, well, he does. He has many plans for you. And she goes, God's, she kind of shook her head. And I said, Graham, God's God what? And she's like, he doesn't hear me. And I said, do you believe? And she said, yeah. And I just, it sat very hard with me because I knew in my spirit that she wanted to believe and she just couldn't express it. And I said, Graham, I said, everything that you've gone through in your whole life and everything that he's brought you through, I'm like, he's never abandoned you once. He's loved you and he loves who you are and he wants to have that relationship with you. He wants to be your comforter and your protector. And she would kind of nod her head and she'd say, okay, Pammy, okay. And I'd say, I'm going to write something down for you. If I write something down, will you promise me that you'll read it every night? And she looked at me and she said, yes, I promise. So I wrote a whole note out for her that just basically reached out and said, you know, God, I'm here and I do love you and I do believe and I do want to have a life with you and I do want to have time with you and I want to let go of the things that I harbor and I want to trust you and I want to rejoice in you and rejoice in the things that you've given me. And it was deeper than that, but she read it every night. Towards the end of her life, my grandmother was a very strong woman, but towards the end of her life, the last couple of months were not so great. She actually declined relatively quickly. So I went over one day, and she was just kind of quiet. And I said to her, you still reading your letter? And she says, oh, Pammy. She says, God is so busy. I said, I know. She said, but I see Jesus every night. He comes to visit me every night. And I said, yes, he does. I said, he's omnipresent. He's there. He's your spirit's there. His spirit is there. He is getting ready. He is getting ready to bring you home. And I came home that day and my whole family was at the pool. And I said to my husband and my kids, I said, it's a matter of time. He's bringing her home. He's visited her. He's omnipresent. He's visited her every night. We were actually supposed to leave for vacation on that Saturday. We struggled with whether or not we were going to do it, and we did. And within 24 hours, we got a call, and I knew what it was, that God was bringing her home. But I walked in that room right after he had brought her home. I wasn't with her when she went. Her brother was. And I walked in, and I knew where she was. And it was the most amazing moment of my life. That even though she wasn't with me, man, oh man, she had like fallen into the arms of her Savior. And she was in a glorious, amazing place where all of my family will be someday. And that is what my mission field is my love, my life, my family, and who we are, and that we will all be together forever and ever in eternity and with him. Thanks for letting me share.
Now, I actually had a couple more left. I'm only going to do one more. I know. We're running out of time. No, Wallace, I would like you to do our last testimony before I tie things up.
Good morning. My name is Wallace Collins, and my mission field is wherever God places me. When the first group came up, I was like, yeah, glad I'm not first. But then after everybody's testimony, I'm like, man, I'm last. I wish I was first now. But I'm going to stick with the testimony that's been on my mind, and it goes back to the Hartford Project. I've been with the Hartford Project for 6 years. The first 3 years I went with the church as a team, was a team with the church. The last 3 years I've been working out in the kitchen. And it's kind of behind the scenes, you know, because we basically make sandwiches and prepare for lunch, and we set up for breakfast. And like now, I don't even get seen, so it's actually good. I cannot be seen. I can be invisible if I need to be. Like the kids and the teams would not see me unless I make myself available, which I will do this week. But so you know, we make sandwiches and breakfasts and get coolers ready with water and Gatorade to set them off, so they can be hydrated in the community when they're doing the community service projects. But my main responsibility is all things food for Love Wins. Love Wins is the block party that they're talking about, that it was talking about earlier. And hot dogs, potato chips, snow cones, and all that good stuff. So I have teams that I kind of manage as they clean, picking up paper and stuff like that. So I kind of post up between the U-Haul truck with all the goods and the hot dog truck. It's a perfect place for me. And so I've been moving around, but my post is right here behind the U-Haul. And I came back to my post. This week is the second week of the Hartford Project. 3 weeks ago, I was there for the first week. When we did Love Wins on the Tuesday, I was doing my rounds. I came back to my little post there, and it was a guy sitting there, and he had one of the walkers with the seat where you can, you know, walk in the seat with. So he's sitting there in his seat. And, you know, I just start talking to him, getting to know him a little bit. His name was John Jackson. And he's from the neighborhood, and, you know, just talking and hanging out with him. And he's like, yeah, he just said, they dropped me off here, and they're going around now doing it, you know. So we can just talking to him and everything, getting to know him. And then he asked me a question because people was coming to me, you know, like, is this your event? And I'm like, no, this is not my event. These guys, making a joke, these guys are security. You see their black shirts like this. See their black shirts? These guys are security. And his response was like, I can't see a thing. I'm blind. And I was like, you know, kind of threw me off a little bit. But I'm like, oh, man. So I went to answer his question. You know, no, I was just joking. These guys, we all work together. And I started to give him a little bit about what the Hartford Project was about and what I was doing, why these people was talking to him, asking me questions and stuff. And while I was talking to him, I realized that I thought he was talking about like a nurse had dropped him off and was walking around, but it actually was his son, his daughter, and his two grand boys. So I'm talking to him. I'm like, so you're sitting here. I haven't seen you eat anything. You know, we had hot dogs and all this stuff. You know, and he was like, no, I haven't had anything. So I go get him a hot dog and another hot dog. And I was going to get mine. So each time I went, I hooked him up. So he had several hot dogs and, you know, just serving him and just getting to know him and everything. And stop it. You know, I realized that, you know, his family dropped them off and left them there so they can just get their stuff and everything, which is, you know, it happens. But I ended up spending about an hour with this guy, and my testimony is just that he was already a Christian. He was already involved in church. I did not pray for him to get his sight back. I did not, you know, dwell on the fact that he was blind. And my testimony is just that after the two-hour Love Win, I spent over half of that with him, serving him and showing him the love of God through just spending time with him, just being a friend to him, keeping him company, serving him, you know. And it was, I guess my thing is that, as I say, everywhere that God placed me is my mission field. And I think that if we go out to our jobs, I mean, I just speak on myself. At my job, the job is my mission field. The streets of of Middletown is my mission field, Meriden, Portland, the Hartford Project, and my business and everything that I, my family, everything that I, that where God put me, I try to show the love of God, to let people see God in my walk. We have time. When I left from, we got time. Food is just warming up. When I left from the Hartford Project on Thursday, on my way home, I got a phone call from my job, which let me know that I work at a psychiatric hospital for teenagers in Middletown. Let me know that a 16-year-old pregnant girl committed suicide. And I felt God telling me that I was needed there for comfort. I was needed there for support. And so I decided to go there right after the Hartford Project on Thursday. And I felt him telling me that this was, he told me that I was needed, but I felt that this was a time for where I put my pocket testament in my back pocket when I got there and was expecting the opportunity to sit with a girl or two and in their grief and opportunity to bring them to Christ. And I was there Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And that opportunity never came. But my presence was the support that God was talking, that God led me. It originally is why I was there for staff and kids. Kept the pocket testament in my pocket. And then on Monday, I met with, you know, this happened on Thursday, so people come in on Monday, they want to know what happened, you know. So I met with the secretary and two secretaries in the office, and I was just talking to them and kind of breaking things down to them, what was going on. And that was my opportunity to use my pocket testament. And it was, so it wasn't for one of the girls, one of the kids, it was actually for one of the staff. And it's been 3 weeks now, and I been still showing love to the kids because that's, you know, my job, that's what I'm called to do, I believe. But and showing love to the staff, helped a lot of staff, directed a lot of staff to the appropriate avenues for counseling and everything. And I'm showing these secretaries love, but I have to follow up with them about their readings with the pocket testament. And my point once again is just how everywhere we go can be our mission field. It's about us using it, being obedient, using it, and then making it our mission field, being obedient to God and just doing his will. Thank you, guys.
See, Wallace is about the only one who can get away with that because he's bigger than me, you know. So it's not like I'm going to be able to move him back to his seat or anything. He's the one that I actually get to move people for me. So, you know. All right. Here, let me wrap this up. What I want you to do is just go with me on this. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes and let's listen to the phone. No. All right. Close your eyes. And what I want you to do is I want you to think about yesterday. I want you to think about every single person that you saw yesterday. Everyone. It could be the neighbor. It could be that teenager who was taking your order at Dunkin' Donuts. It could be the postman who was delivering your mail. It could be the soccer coach that you dropped your kids off at. It could be that cashier at Walmart. It could be the waitress at Chili's that you went to restaurant. It could be that lady that you saw at the library who was sitting by herself reading. Maybe it was your boss. Maybe you're one of the unlucky ones and you were working yesterday. So many people that you have no idea if they're going to heaven or not. You don't. You have no idea. Now, some of you might be thinking as your eyes are closed, Pastor, are you saying that every single one of those person that I saw are my responsibility? Yes, they are. See, we've believed a lie that each one of those people that we saw was someone else's responsibility. And since most of us believe that, very few of them got impacted. Now, keep your eyes closed. We're almost done. Now, what if we understood our roles as missionaries and we loved each one of them the way that God would have wanted us to? What if we saw that neighbor, actually he was out in his yard working, and we went over and helped him with his yard work, and while we were doing that, we invited him to an outdoor service where we were going to give him a free meal? What if we smiled at that teenager who took our order at Dunkin' Donuts? We appreciated the work they gave him, and we told him that Jesus loved them. What if we saw that postman and we remembered them, and matter of fact, we bought them a gift because, you know, they're our postmen, and it was around Christmas time, so we gave them a gift card, and inside that gift card, we put our invite to a Christmas service. They came, and they gave their life to Jesus. What if we offered to help that soccer coach with the boys instead of just dropping our kids off and waiting in the car, but it led it to an opportunity to speak truth into their life? What if while we were at Walmart, we looked behind us, we saw no one else in line, and we said, is there something I can pray for you? You look kind of sad right now. And they said, yeah, could you pray for this? And you did. What if that waitress at Chili's, we, as soon as we sat down, started saying, God, what could I speak into her life? What could I say? And God did. God gave you something, and you gave it to her just the way that God told you to, and her life was never the same. What about if you were at the library and as you saw that lady sitting behind by herself reading a book, you said, God, is there something you want to say to her? And he did. He gave you a scripture verse. You went over, you spoke a word of encouragement to her, and you blessed her and you left. What if you were the best worker your boss ever saw? And he came to work yesterday and you could tell he was having a really bad day. And he walked up to you and said, you know what? You're always smiling. Why? Because today I need to smile because I'm having a really bad day. You can look at me. See, every single one of those opportunities that I talked about, they have a cost, don't they? Every one of them, right? They're going to cost you your time. They're going to cost you your pride. They may even cost you some fear, right? Because, Pastor, I'm just not made to do that. But we're all called to do that. See, Jesus sacrificed everything for you, everything. And what he's asking us to do is to do the same for other people. So why don't you stand with me this morning?